Father, we come to you, and we thank you that you are the one who makes a way for us. Lord, that you loved us enough that when we were lost in our sins and our trespasses, you made a provision, even at the price of it costing you your Son. Lord, we pray now that as we come to this time, that you be honored and glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. It's good to be with you again, to have another opportunity to worship the living Lord and Savior Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Last week, we looked at when God became a man. We looked at the heavenly genealogy of Jesus. We've said before that Matthew and Luke, they deal with the earthly genealogies. But when we come to the gospel of John, John wants us to understand the heavenly nature of Jesus. And so he starts off with those words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He goes on to say, "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." But as Mark said earlier, it's easy for us to remember Jesus at this time of year as a child. But if his birth were all that there was, then there would still be something lacking. As we come to this time of year, a lot of times it can be a source of anxiety. If it is a difficult time for somebody, it can be a time when you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with different things. And so today I want to talk about recognizing the real source of security. During Christmas, as we are gathered up here, I want you to know that our source of security is not found in all of the gifts that we may have. As a matter of fact, I want you to understand that if you're blessed and you may have a big Christmas, you may have a lot of gifts and a lot of presents, but there are a whole lot of people that aren't that fortunate. But this can still be a great time of year for them if they and we recognize the true source of our security. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, kind of begins to help us understand that when we come to this 6th chapter of Matthew. And so let's begin reading in verse 25 and read down through verse 34. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, that they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith! Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." How many of you can say that there are times in your life, maybe even right now, where that you deal with worry? You deal with wondering what's going to happen next, or how is this going to be taken care of? As Jesus starts to talk here in this passage, he begins by talking about people being anxious or worrying about really the most basic needs that we have: clothing, food, being able just to take care of the very necessities. But he tells us, he says, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about what you're going to wear or what you're going to drink or what you're going to eat. You see, as we look at this, Jesus knew something about human nature. The things that we cling to the most ferociously are the things that we hold to for security. And so what we cling to reveals where we seek security. Sometimes it's in the process of just trying to make sure that we've got everything met for the day. I know many of you that are here are blessed beyond that, where that day to day you're not worrying about whether you're going to have something to put on. You may be worried about whether it's going to look like what you want it to look like, but you know you've got some clothes to be able to get up and put on. Most of us here are not worried about if we're going to be able to leave from here in just a moment and go and find something to eat. As a matter of fact, at Emmanuel Baptist Church, if somebody leaves here on a Sunday morning without having found something to eat, they just didn't know where to look. Because we do plenty of that around here. Or whether we're going to have something to drink, whether we're going to have clean water to be able to drink. But we worry about a lot of different things. You see, the world seeks security in things that will not last. The world seeks security in things that will not last. Because when we talk about these basic things, what happens when you buy clothes? How many of you have ever had your clothing to wear out? You ever worn something till it absolutely wore out? Maybe you wore it past that. You got that favorite pair of jeans. You've got that favorite shirt. You've got that thing that you pull out, guys, and your wife says, "Oh, no, you're not wearing that." It's because you have bought it, and when you bought it, it was new and it looked good, and maybe she said, "Honey, put that on." But what's happened over time? Over time, it's worn out. We talk about getting together and eating. And I want to tell you, I do believe, we got, I think, 9 buildings on campus. Every campus has a kitchen, and every kitchen gets used at some point and some time. We eat around here. But here's the thing that you need to know about that. You ate this morning. Are you going to eat again this evening? Are you going to eat tomorrow? We worry so much about getting a meal, but the fact is that once we eat it, we're going to need another one somewhere down the road. If that wasn't the case, poor Wes, they're going to close you down. They eat one meal at Sonic and they're gone. They don't ever have to come back. But that's not the case. Even when we talk about a meal, when we get something to eat, we eat it once and then it's gone and then we're on looking for something else. Yet how many of you here, I'm going to be a little nosy, how many of you here are 50 or above? Okay. 60 or above. Okay. Should I keep going? 70 or above. All right. There is a testimony in that. Everybody that is here that's 50 above, 60 above, and 70 above, that means in 50 years you have not starved to death. In 60 years you've not starved to death. In 70 years you've not starved to death. But you have had to continue eating. There's never been one meal that you could get that was sufficient that would just hold you forever. But that consumes a big part of what we think about. To put it another way, the psalmist wrote about it in Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. He moves it from some of the more basic stuff. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So we move on from the things that are just the very basics, from our clothing and our food, but we begin to move to the things that are that we find to be more gratifying. We talk about building a home, and maybe we're not just talking about building a house, because there's a difference between having a house and building a home. But when we talk about the home, we want our house. Every one of us has a different ideal about what we would like our home to look like, because there are things that are particular to us, where we kind of want to put our touch on it. It reflects us. But he says it doesn't matter what kind of house you build. Doesn't matter how strong you build it. It doesn't matter if you use the greatest contractor or the priciest fixtures. Unless the Lord establishes that house, it's going to fall. You see, we think that we would have security if we have a roof over our head. But I can tell you that just because you have a roof over your head today doesn't mean you'll have a roof over your head tomorrow. There are some of you here that have experienced that from different reasons. Some of you may have experienced a fire. Some of you may have experienced flood. Some of you may have experienced financial misfortune. And what you had one day in the way of a home was not what you had the next day in the way of a home. But the Bible says there's no security in the home unless the Lord establishes it. But not only that, he says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, you could say, well, it's not just about the house, but it's about our life and it's about our security. And he says, so man, we are planners. How many of you here are planners, thinkers? You know, you're not just gonna, I know there's more of you out there than what are admitting it. You got a certain way you think things ought to go for the future. And so you're making plans to protect the future. You're making plans to kind of get that all in line. But he says, the watchman can stay awake on the wall of the city all night long. But he says, unless the Lord's protecting it, he watches in vain. In other words, if it's not the city, think of it like this. You think, you know, I've done everything that somebody should do. I've worked at one job for a long time. Maybe I have financially planned. I've got a 401k. Maybe you're working somewhere where they've got a pension, as rare as that's becoming something to be. You have got all the different types of insurance that you can have. I tell you today, don't you know today you can buy insurance for almost anything. You know, you can have homeowners insurance, you can have dental insurance, you can have insurance now so that if your car breaks down, you can have insurance so that if your appliance goes out at the house. But the simple fact of the matter, if you bought all those insurance is all you'd have. Because you can spend yourself right into being broke trying to protect everything. And so the picture is it becomes something that's futile. As we try to secure everything in life that we think we have to be secure. But then he goes on. He says, it's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest and eat the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. You know, the Bible doesn't teach anything bad about hard work and having a good work ethic. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament said, if a man will not work, he should not eat. But when you begin to work and live in such a way as you think it all depends on you, that you make it, then you really don't understand where your security comes from. Because we have to be dependent on the Lord. You see, the true security is found only in God, who is the source of all that we need. True security is found only in the Lord, who is the source of all that we need. If you want to get a better picture of that, then think about it like this. Just a few moments ago, we had a baby dedication here on stage. I want to tell you that those children mean the world to those parents. They come up here. One, they're proud of them. Two, I want to tell you, if you ever want to get in trouble where that you got a fight on your hands, mess with the mama's baby. Listen, the most unassuming woman that is just so quiet and peaceful and small. Listen, you can get a fight like you had never seen in your life. But here's the deal. God shows us what it means for us to have real security and the lengths that He goes through to make sure that we have it in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, the Bible says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Do you get that picture? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then He tells us to what extent and how we can trust that. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? I'm going to tell you, I'm not downing any of the parents that were just up here, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to get any one of them to give you your baby for you. I can tell you, I'm standing up here as a father and a grandfather, and you'd be hard-pressed to get me to trade the life of my children for your children or for you. But our Heavenly Father loved us enough that He sent His Son, and Jesus loved us enough that He willingly came and died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, to make us eternally secure for all eternity. When we begin to grasp that, then the Word goes on to say, how will He who gave His own Son not freely give us anything else that we have need of? Do you get the picture? If I've been willing to give you the most valuable thing that I have, do you think there's anything else that I would withhold from you? If I'm willing to give you the most valuable thing that I have, I've given you my Son. So do you think that I've given you my Son so that on the other hand I could turn around and say, oh no, when you've got this need over here, you've got that. No, we're not going to do that. That's why the Bible says if God is for us, who can be against us? And so as we come to celebrate Christmas this year, I want you to think about it like this. Last week I told you that Jesus was the greatest gift that we could ever receive. When He came, God sent His one and only Son. When He came, I want you to understand, as we celebrate this birth, as we celebrate this time when there was a child that was born, the day that we celebrate it, the day that He was born, God in heaven knew that He was destined to die. You see, the problem that we have with security is that we don't know the future, and so we try to hedge our bets against anything that may come up so that we can find security. But everything in this world that we would hedge our bets with, everything in this world that we would cling to, is going to get old and pass away. Only Jesus is going to last forever when it comes to things that can provide security. When that he came as a baby, he came on a mission. He was born to die. But in his death, he brought us life. And death couldn't hold him, because on the third day he rose again. We sang a while ago about the Waymaker. I want you to understand, the devil was wringing his hands in glee the day that Jesus was placed in the tomb, but he'd have never worked to orchestrate his death if he'd understood just what God was going to do through it. He thought he had won, but 3 days later he found out that the worst he could do couldn't even begin to hold him. The grave could not keep him. So you know where our security really lies? In a baby that was born, destined to die on a cross, but whom the grave couldn't hold. And so if you're here today and you're worrying about tomorrow, you're worrying about all of the things in life that you're going to need, and look, the Bible says in this passage in Matthew, it says, God knows that you have every one of these needs. Do you know what? God knows you're going to get hungry in a little bit. God knows that you're going to need a roof over your head when you lay down. God knows every need that you're going to have tomorrow and every need that you're going to have next week. And his instruction on the matter is this: seek me first. Seek me first, and all of these things will be added to you. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? A simple prescription. Everything that you need in life will come from one source if you'll just simply seek that source first. But why is it so hard for us to do that? Am I the only one that struggles with that sometimes? Can you be honest? Is there anybody else here that at times that struggles with that? You say, you know, Lord, I hear what you're saying, but you know, maybe you hadn't ever dealt with this boss that I've got. Lord, you hadn't had the kind of bills that I have. Lord, you hadn't dealt with the kind of illness that I've got. Lord, you're not married to the person that I'm married to. Lord, your children aren't doing the things that my children do. Oh, yeah? God knows about all of that, but those are the kind of things that we reflect when we say, Lord, I'm going to try to work this out without you. For the most part, we would never say those things, but our actions portray those things. And so this morning, as we come to our time of invitation, I ask this simple question. Will you turn to him for your source of security? Because he's the only one. Jesus Christ is the only one who can truly offer us security. Jesus said, can you add a single hour to your life by worrying? From what we find, even with science today, you can't add any time, but you may take some time by spending your time worrying about it all. Will you surrender today and say, Lord, I trust you above everything else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for this privilege and we thank you for this opportunity. We pray that as we take this time, that you be honored and glorified through it. And Lord, help us to let go of the things that we cling to, that are fading away. Help us to let go of the illusion that we can be in control and that we can work things out. And help us surrender to you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, please stand.
Every heart that is broken.